There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Shannon, welcome back.
Hi, Annie. Thank you. I really enjoyed the last episode with Lottie standing in. How was it?
Thanks for joining us back in the studio.
Yeah, I'm glad I've still got a job here.
Yeah, I mean, Lottie did a really good job. It was close to the wire as to whether we were going to let you back in the studio.
Okay, but we do have a really good episode coming up, right?
Yeah, we do. And you've got a bit of a dilemma, actually. I think we should talk about this first.
Oh, God. It's going to be fine.
Okay, what's the dilemma?
Okay, the dilemma is, I mean, by the time this podcast goes out, my dilemma will have lifted or will be good. But as of yet, I don't have a Halloween costume for tomorrow.
Okay, right. So what are the options? I feel like I can help you.
Okay, I'm going to a night. It's VMA themed.
Why don't you go as Britney with the snake around her neck?
Britney? Oh.
Yeah? That's quite Halloween-y.
Isn't she just wearing a bra, though?
Yeah, that's fine.
I think I might need a few more
bikini
clothes than that. Maybe I'll do like denim Britney. Britney and
Miley.
Justin. Lots to think about.
Okay, so this is quite a big dilemma, but we're getting distracted.
Yeah.
So what have we got? Actually, what should I answer what we've got coming up this episode?
Yeah, you know more than me.
Okay, so I'm going to be speaking to Deb and Nat about a new collection that's dropping on ASOS, a collaboration with Wah London and Sharmadine Reed.
I've got some of that.
Yeah, everybody's wearing it. Ooh. So I'm going to ask them what the key pieces are and how they'd style it.
And that's exciting. And I spoke to Jamie, James and Alice, aka My Dad Wrote a Porno. And that was so exciting that we sacked off the part of the show where we normally do Vox Pops to talk about love to have a double whammy of My Dad Wrote a Porno.
So basically, you got so carried away that you are just taking over quite a lot of this episode.
It's like podcast meets podcast.
I know. We were quite starstruck.
I know, right? And then where's Georgia Murray been then?
Georgia Murray, well, she hasn't been that far, but she is going to be talking about Iceland and why it's so great for women. There's a report that's just come out and she's going to be telling us all about it.
Oh, so it's a really exciting show. So Lottie, back off.
Oh, Lottie, you're welcome back anytime.
Annie, get in the fashion cupboard.
Oh, she's back. Right, off I go. Today, I'm with Debbie, who works with us on the magazine and is one of our ASOS insiders. You've all seen her on Instagram. Check her out, ASOS Debbie. And I'm also with Nat, one of our women's wear stylists. Right, today we're going to talk about a collection that has dropped on ASOS that I think everybody in the office is wearing.
Yeah. Very excited.
So what is this collection that we're going to talk about today?
It's the Wah London times ASOS.
Okay, so a lot of girls in the fashion team are wearing it.
Yeah.
It is a collection with Sharmadine Reed.
Yes.
So do you want to explain a bit about who Sharmadine is?
Sharmadine is like girl boss, boss lady, founder of Wah Nails. So she was one of the first people to bring like, nail art to London, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people will know her from all of the stuff that she does with her nails.
Oh, okay.
So, but we collaborated on a collection with her, so Wah London ASOS. Mm-hmm. And Deb, you went to speak to her for an interview for the magazine.
I did, down in her ends, down Portobello Road. And yeah, just to get a bit of a vibe about what her inspiration was. Her words were uptown, downtown.
Okay, so when you went to interview her in Portobello, she spoke about a bit about how this collection is kind of West London meets East London,
yes,
right?
Yes, that was it. That was the uptown, downtown vibe she was giving me. She's lived in East for a long time and now she had moved to West London.
Okay.
Been influenced by the mothers that she'd been seeing.
And so that's where she started making like mood boards and all of, and it was a little bit throwback as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, because she incorporated some of her past mood boards. So like she was inspired by Princess Di as well. So she went through her old like zines that she'd made about her.
Okay, because she used to make a zine with Wah London.
Yeah, so that's how Wah started as a zine.
If you haven't seen the collection before, what can you expect from it? What does it look like?
I think there's something for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. There's like loads of really cool accessories. You've got like your princess chokers and bracelets. And then the key pieces that have literally everyone's been wearing around the office are, one of them is the cricket jumper, which is like a really nice thick, like cream cricket jumper with the red and pink
trim.
Yeah, so it's slightly different, I suppose, from a traditional cricket jumper because it's got like a red
V-neck,
and pink V-neck.
Yeah, it actually comes with a matching skirt.
Yeah.
So it's a co-ord.
It's a co-ord, a cool co-ord, actually.
There's loads of really good co-ords in the collection. Yeah. Actually.
How about that pinstripe blazer?
Yeah, the blazer. Which you've got, Debs, haven't you?
I've got the blazer. You've got the suit.
Yeah.
It's a coward as well.
Suit, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so describe this blazer to me. What kind of shape it is? What kind of blazer is it?
It's a black pinstripe blazer, double-breasted, oversized.
It tucks in a bit at the waist as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's got a really nice, like, cinched-in waist, which you don't find a lot in, like, oversized
blazing. Yeah. It fits really well.
Really, really nice.
On me.
So, Deb, I've seen you wear this blazer. Yep. How would both of you style either the blazer or the suit?
Okay, I tucked the collar in.
Classic Debbie tuck.
That is a classic Debbie
tuck.
Yeah,
just because it's kind of, like, really power. It's a power suit. It's a power suit. But I just kind of made it a bit more sexy. So tucked it in, and I just wore it with plain black trousers, whereas you wore the full suit.
I wore one of the jumpers underneath it, and then a pair of white Reebok Classics. And then I've worn just the blazer, and I wore that with like a denim frayed skirt and a t-shirt underneath it.
Nice, because the trousers with the suit are very wide leg as well. So it's quite, both the blazer and the trousers are quite interesting shapes to wear.
It's a good silhouette, definitely. And really, I think you can actually wear it with heels as well if you wanted to as well, or flats.
Definitely.
Okay, so we're loving the suit.
Yeah, the suit is very powerful.
Right, now the cricket jumper, how would you style that? Would you wear that as the co-ord, or if you just wanted to wear the jumper, what would you wear it with?
I would actually go for the co-ord.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of cold, but it's knitted.
Yeah.
Who cares about your legs? Yeah, do a bare leg with it.
Yeah.
And what kind of shoes, Deb? Well, a heel, surely.
The Wah heels.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Have you not seen them? So when I spoke to Sharma, she said that these shoes were inspired by Baswegians, which is what she used to wear back in the day. She probably still wears them. And so these are like a loafer with cut-out sides with a heel, and it has this, like, ribbon, like, going through it that you can type around your ankle, would you say, Nat?
Yeah. And I think the ribbon was inspired by the Royal Navy medal ribbons, which is, like, a cool little touch of detail.
It's a really nice detail, isn't it, for a shoe to have that tie around the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some shoes, I think, that have got a pearl.
Yeah.
That are very similar shape, but in her collection, that have got pearls around the ankle.
The patent ones.
Because pearl is a detail that sort of runs through the collection.
There's that black dress.
Yeah.
And it has the pearl straps.
And then she's done a pearl choker as well.
And I think another item that everybody's wearing in the office is the shirt.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that shirt.
The shirt is like every day.
Yes, someone's wearing it in the office.
And what's the shirt like? It's a stripe.
It's a great shirt. So it's a white shirt with blue stripes on it, right?
Yeah.
And it has pearl buttons and detailing on both the cuffs as well.
Yeah, and like a double
cuff.
Yeah, double cuff.
So you can wear it down as well. So like oversized sleeves.
Yeah.
Ticks that box.
Which ties in really well with what we were talking about in the last podcast about the oversized menzie shirt. And
everybody's
this has just got the feminine
touch
with the pearl details.
In fact,
really
Deb,
nice.
You're wearing a shirt today.
I'm wearing a shirt today.
Please, can you describe your shirt?
My shirt is oversized. Mm. It's blue and white, and it's got some oversized
bows
on its cuff.
And it's gingham.
I nearly wore the Wah shirt today.
Did you?
Nearly. Sorry, guys.
Wear it tomorrow.
I do. I will.
And I suppose we've been talking about where Sharmadine got all her inspiration from, and it's a little bit throwback in some of the mood boarding that she was doing. So I wanted to ask you guys, if you had to pick like a throwback moment that would inspire your style, what would that be? Deb, do you have a throwback?
Throwback. I have a couple. They're fictional characters. The first one would be Hilary Banks from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Just because I love her, she does colour really well, and she's always wearing like a hat, and I like that, whether it's a beret or whether it's another type of hat. But definitely.
Do you always try and throw a little bit of that into an outfit?
Yes, I was actually wearing the Sharmadine blazer on Monday, and And someone said that looks a bit Hillary Banks like. I was so happy.
Did you like that? That somebody knew.
Yeah,
and you didn't even cue them. They just said
nope,
that.
Nope, they just said it. So obviously, yeah.
Goal achieved for the day.
Exactly.
Now, what would you pick? If you had to pick like a throwback, like person or moment, what would it be?
I would pick, I'm really into like the noughties at the moment,
right?
Like the early 2000s. Like all the like Diamante crop top deals. 3LW, girl band, no more. I think they did that really, really well. And then like obviously like TLC and Aaliyah. And then also it was a program on Disney called The Cheetah Girls.
Oh,
they're
yeah, the
really,
Cheetah
really
Girls.
Good. And they weren't some of the members in
3LW?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in the girl group.
Yeah.
We should say, because no one can actually see us, but you are smiling
so hard
so
right
much
now.
So funny.
Like, just chuck a Diamante on.
What about a Diamante belt?
A Diamante belt, I've got one of those. Diamante belt, around your sunglasses, a hoop earring.
Because that's what I was also going to ask you, because this made me think when we started talking about this, about what are the accessories that you remember from your teens that just make you, what you're both doing now, smile.
Oh my gosh, for me, do you guys remember Polly Pocket? So like the Polly Pocket charms that you could wear around your neck, so they opened up, so you can carry Polly Pockets with you to school.
So I used to have a collection of Polly Pockets,
but
not a necklace. I used to have like the slightly bigger ones. And
they
then
had
you could...
like this mini compact ones, Annie. It was
as a necklace.
As a necklace.
I can't believe I didn't have one of those.
I don't think I had one either. but I wanted one. All the other girls at school probably had one.
A Polly Pocket. Now, because I saw the other day, I saw those little purses that were like pastel coloured and they had all those little beads on. You know, like those coin purses.
Yeah, like the money. Yeah, I remember those.
I used to have one of those to have my lunch money in.
That's amazing.
So sweet. How about you, Dad?
Now, what did you have?
I was very into bandanas, bandanas as tops, bandanas on your head.
On your head.
Bandanas just, like, anywhere around your ankles. Mainly as a top, though. And I'm really surprised my mum let me wear that. But I was, like, really young. But, yeah, a bandana as a top was a very...
Back then, they weren't worn around the neck and all the waist, were they?
No.
I feel like we could talk about this forever, back in the day style. In fact, I'm going to have to ask Shannon... I can't wait to find out what Shannon used to wear back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay, well, really excited about the Wah London and ASOS collection. I'm going to have to get that pinstripe. I need that power blazer.
Annie,
everyone's wearing it. Okay, girls, thank you so much.
Thanks, Annie.
And speak to you soon. Bye.
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 That was exciting. As usual, I want to do some more shopping now.
Yeah, but you've already done some shopping because you've got the pinstripe blazer.
Yeah, but I don't have the pinstripe trousers.
Oh, yeah, you need the power suit.
Yeah.
But how do you wear the pinstripe blazer?
Oh, God, I've only worn it once.
Yeah.
I think, what was I wearing? Jeans?
Wear it more casual?
Yeah, pretty cash.
You are quite cash.
That's me.
Okay, well, get the suit and then wear it with heels and come into work.
Okay, you heard it here first.
I also want to ask you what you used to wear as a teenager.
Oh, some really questionable things, Annie. Okay, maybe as an early teenager, I've got one standout moment.
Laughing?
Because this is really good. So I used to love horses, right? And I used to go horse riding with my friend.
Yeah.
And for my birthday, she got me this T-shirt that was a picture of me and a horse. My face on my own T-shirt.
So wait, you're...
So I wore a T-shirt with my own face on it and it was me with a horse.
So your key piece as a teen was a T-shirt with your own face on?
Yes.
I don't think we've had anything quite as mind-blowing on these forms.
Maybe I should do a collection with ASOS.
Maybe it should be Shannon and ASOS, but it's just pictures of yourself all over clothes.
Equestrian themed.
So are you sitting on the horse?
No, I'm stood next to it.
That's, I mean...
Lost for words, aren't you?
I think we might have to go back to the fashion cupboard and see and talk to the stylist about that one.
Make 1,000 of them. Hi, Georgia Murray.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Georgia. Right, and before we start, actually, you've just walked in. Sorry to bombard you.
What is so funny?
But I need Shannon to tell you what she's just told me, because...
Annie was just asking what I used to wear when I was a teenager.
Okay.
And I was saying I had this one very special T-shirt. It was a present from a friend.
Right.
And basically, I used to love horses and ponies, didn't discriminate.
Which teenage girl doesn't?
Exactly. And my friend got me a t-shirt and she basically got a picture of me with a horse and got it printed on the t-shirt.
Was it actually you with a horse in real life?
Yeah, so okay, so it wasn't Photoshop. Me and my own face on the t-shirt.
I mean, so I was
that is special. That was the right word, wasn't it, really?
I mean, I was asking her what, you know, what sort of pieces when you're a teenager you used to love, like, you know, those
like throwback
items. And Shannon says she has a t-shirt with her own face on it standing next to a horse.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Georgia, you're here to talk about Iceland, right?
I am.
Why
indeed.
Are we talking about Iceland? Because I've seen a couple of articles about it this week.
Yes, so women and Iceland. Apparently it's the best place to be a woman in the world. So that's really interesting.
Now, why is that? Why has that come out now?
So back in May, The Economist magazine ranked Iceland as the best place to be a working woman. So that was great news earlier in the year already. But this week, the World Economic Forum, which is a not-for-profit foundation based in Switzerland, they basically collect data and analyse it, and they've been doing that since the 70s. So they released their annual gender gap report this week.
Okay, so Iceland was number one on that.
Exactly, and it has been for the past 8 years.
Whoa, that's amazing. And do we know where, like, the UK?
Yeah, where was everything else?
So UK, number 20, not great, but the USA has slipped down to 45 this year.
What does the report cover?
So it takes into factors like politics, health, education and the economy, and it measures the relative gap between men and women in these sectors.
Okay, so Iceland came out as number one, but what does that mean, like, in detail? So what was it the best at?
Okay, so it was top performer on things like political empowerment. It was in the top 10 for economic opportunity, and it's fully closed its gap for educational attainment, which basically means that girls have as good an opportunity to receive education as their male counterparts.
Okay, but it can't be that good. Are there any areas that it needs to improve on?
So while it is one of the fastest improving countries in the world, it's still working on closing its overall gender pay gap. But I'll talk about that a little bit later.
So if we went back a bit and looked at Iceland, like, historically, what, as a country, why is it so progressive? Why has it been so good for women?
Well, I think you can kind of look back to the 70s, which is when a lot of feminism and activism in the streets was coming about worldwide. Iceland held a day of protest in October 1975, which saw 25,000 women, which at the time was one-fifth of the female population of the country.
That's huge.
Yeah, so many people. And it's quite a small country. So the fact that one-fifth came out, like, that's still an absolutely massive number.
Yeah, it is.
So they all gathered on the streets of Reykjavik, and it also saw 90% of the working female population go on an all-out professional and domestic strike to highlight women's work and unfair pay.
Okay, so there was that march in 1975, and that's then related to why this week in Iceland, women have also gone out to march.
Exactly. So this week, history was kind of repeated as the 1975 march was mirrored in thousands of women walking out of their workplaces at 2:38 p.m. this Monday, the 24th of October.
Okay, so why is it... Why two? That's quite a specific time. So at 2:38, pens down, everybody walked out.
Pens down, everyone out. So basically, in Iceland, women earn between 14% and 18% less than their male counterparts.
Right.
Meaning for every eight-hour day, women are basically working for free from 2:38 p.m. onwards.
Okay. Oh, so yeah. Right. So is it? So that's why they walked out at that time.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
And do we know what the UK's gender pay gap is?
So it depends where you look. A recent figure from the Office of National Statistics said it was 9.4%. So while that's an area that Iceland are looking to improve on, the government has pledged to close that gap by 2022.
But then going back to sort of the history and 1975 and that march, what sort of lasting effect did that have on Iceland and, like, the political scene?
Well, it's absolutely huge. I mean, 5 years after that march, Iceland's first female president was elected. So everyone, Icelandic listeners, I'm very sorry for them about to present say this name. Vigdis Finnbogadottir.
Okay.
I'm sure that's said very wrong, but yes, that was the first female president. And she held office from 1980 to 1996. And later still, the first female political party, Women's Alliance,
that's
was founded. So cool, right? I want to definitely be a part of that. That was founded, and by 1999, more than one-third of MPs were female.
Which is a lot more than
Exactly.
That's a really good number then.
And it even had the first world's first lesbian prime minister.
What was her name?
Again, Johanna Sigurdardottir. Sorry, everyone. And she served from 2009 to 2012. She was actually the longest serving member of parliament, and Forbes named her among the 100 most powerful women in the world.
And what about today? What are the politics like now in Iceland?
So it's kind of interesting, actually. By the time our listeners will be hearing this podcast, there will have been a parliamentary election in Iceland.
And I will have a Halloween costume.
Which is on a similar level of scale.
Important.
And basically, one of the parties that is in the running is the Pirate Party.
That's their name?
Yeah. That is their name.
So what's the Pirate Party?
I mean, costume ideas.
So unfortunately, there's no fancy dress. But it's basically a collection of anarchists, hackers and web geeks. And they're on the rise. They've offered Edward Snowden a place to call home. They want a world free of digital snooping. And the founder is actually a former WikiLeaks activist.
Different kind of pirate.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think you got the wrong end of the stick there, the pirates.
But yeah, so the country's sort of in the midst of change at the moment, which makes it a really interesting time.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting time to be looking at it. And we sort of heard a bit of the stats, a bit about the politics. But what is it like actually being a woman in Iceland now?
So I spoke to journalist Hrefna, who is based in Reykjavik, and she writes for English language Icelandic news site Grapevine. And I just spoke to her about her experiences growing up and being an Icelandic woman.
My name is Hrefna Björk Gilladóttir. I'm 21 years old from Reykjavik, Iceland. I'm currently studying graphic design, and I work as a journalist and photographer for the Reykjavik Grapevine.
Generally, what do you think life is like in Iceland for women? I mean, the report said that things like economic and political standing for women is really great at the moment. Do you sort of feel like that's reflective of daily experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think... Like for me, I have a lot of great female role models just in society and in politics. And we've really been focusing on trying to criticize journalism that doesn't focus on, for example, female sports coverage or something that people in Iceland are very critical about matters. And I think because we're such a small country, we're only 300,000 people, that if we want to make a change, it's probably a lot easier for us. Because each and every person has a strong voice, and it's kind of easy to get your message through.
Yeah, I think that really comes across in all the coverage that we've seen here over in the UK. The fact that it's almost like people's voices count, and like you said, it's easy to bring about change. And I guess having a lot—is it one third of Parliament is made up of women? So I guess that must be an incredible thing to say, I see this about my country, because in the UK it's really not, the sort of gender balance in Parliament is really off kilter.
Yeah, and it makes sense, because as soon as I see a woman that's maybe not even that much older than me making a change in politics, it really inspires me to do something, even though I'm just in high school or college or whatever, just to do something and have a voice. I think that's really important.
Definitely. And do you think that activism is a big part of young women's lives in Iceland?
Yeah, definitely. Just in the last year, it's like we've accomplished so much. It's not the start of it all, of course. Like, there is a history of women's rights movement in Iceland. Like, we had the first female president, and women have been fighting for issues like maternity leaves and the right to vote for many years. But I think young women are really continuing this, because in the last year, we've done a lot, and we've really realized, I think, how much we can do just through using social media and everything. And a lot of campaigns dealing with sexism came to life last year because of the 100th year of women's right to vote. Mm-hmm. And there has been a lot of discussion amongst women and men in Iceland, which is great. For us as a small country, there's so much we can do. And of course, we should be setting an example for other countries, because everything that we do in Iceland is 7 times harder for like the UK to do or something, because it's just everything. We take a lot of small steps in Iceland because we're so few, and it makes everything so easy for us. I hadn't even heard the word feminism until 5 or 6 years ago, which I find really crazy, because now in Iceland, not being a feminist is just considered absurd.
That's great because yeah. in a lot of places it's still considered to be a very extreme point of view. So the fact that you live in a country where it's seen as silly to not be one is so fantastic.
Yeah, it's really inspiring, and it makes you feel inspired to make a change and to speak out and to not be a part of that 5% of feminists in a country. I don't know, that kind of just scares me. But I think that everyone in the country is aiming for the goal of equality. But even though we are the female-friendliest country in the world, I think we still have a lot of work ahead of us.
She's making me want to move to Iceland.
Yeah, sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's really nice to actually hear from somebody who's there and her experiences growing up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Also talking about it, we actually did Reykjavik for the magazine.
Exactly, yeah, right.
We did. So we should all just go on a trip to Iceland as well.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the last issue of ASOS magazine for our travel feature, Wonderlist, we looked at Reykjavik. So we talked to locals and people who have travelled through there or lived there for a small amount of time. And basically they told us the best things to do, see, eat and drink in Iceland.
Can you remember any? What were the best recommendations?
I mean, it's all a lot of tiny ponies.
Yes.
Hot springs.
Oh.
Good vegan food. And the Northern Lights.
Northern Lights.
Okay, so we can go. I can stand with a pony and get a new T-shirt.
Oh my gosh. It's completely fate.
Sold. You can get an updated T-shirt with you next to a pony.
Yeah, Iceland.
I want to see the Northern Lights. I think that's why I want to go.
Yeah. Me and Annie will be off doing that life-changing experience.
That's equally as exciting for you to get a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Right, guys, I'm off. Thanks for having me. See you next episode. Aww,
thanks, Georgia.
Okay, so from Iceland to porn.
Something slightly different.
Okay, I'm so excited because this is when we hear from My Dad Wrote a Porno.
I don't know who was more excited. I think Georgia was the most excited.
Georgia was pretty excited. I mean, it is quite a big deal. That podcast gets like 3 million listeners, top of the iTunes chart. They've somehow managed to get hashtag porno day trending every Monday for the last however many months.
Okay, so we were pretty excited and quite starstruck, and they came into the ASOS HQ.
Yeah, all of those things, and we made them play a game.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I can't wait to hear it. So from one podcast to another, let's hear from the guys of My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Jamie, James, Alice, welcome to ASOS.
Thanks very much.
Hello. How are we all today?
I'm very good. A little bit tired. We had our live show last night, so yeah. I've been up most of the night drinking.
With the Flintstones.
My dad was in London.
Rocky Flintstone himself.
He was visiting my sister. Yeah.
I've got to say, like, I don't want to brag, but we've had Dan from Gossip Girl on this podcast and like a real expert, but no one's ever been as kind of starstruck and excited about having you guys on because My Dad Wrote a Porno. Everyone's absolutely obsessed with it.
Oh,
who knew people love porn so much? Honestly?
So many perverts out there.
There should be some on the internet. There should be some like free access, you know, supply because people will go to it. Yeah, it's weird. People draw different things from it, don't they?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I just love the idea that somebody's going to be out there playing it, thinking that it's actual erotica, and they look like they've got themselves all geared up for something
exciting.
Like,
why are these guys talking over
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to get off.
Yeah.
And at the live show last night, like, people go crazy. Like, people wearing costumes.
Yeah.
Someone dressed...
Like, dressing up as Belinda?
Some people dressed up as Belinda. Someone dressed as a pub. There's a location in it called the Horse and Jockey Pub.
Yeah.
Someone dressed as the pub.
Just to take it back, in case anyone has been living under a rock. Mm. So, Jamie, your dad wrote a porno.
Yes, he did.
How did he kind of break it to you that that's what he'd done? Did he take you out? Was he like, you sat down? Or was it just like, here's my debut porno?
Absolutely not. No, what he did was he said that he'd written a book, like a novel, in his retirement, which was great. I thought that was an amazing thing for someone to do. And he said that he'd send me some pages of it, and I was like, brilliant. Sent it to me, and I just didn't ever read it, just because... I'm a terrible son. And when I did get around to reading it, I thought it was going to be like a spy thing or like pirates or something. And the first line is, Belinda blinked and the job interviewer had just asked her to remove her silk blouse. And I was like, oh my God, my dad's written pornography. Oh my God. And then as I kept reading it, it was just the funniest book, should we even say book? Pamphlet I've ever read in my entire life. And I had to share it with these guys immediately. And we all had a pub lunch and I just started reading it to them and we thought, we've got to do a podcast.
Just the way, like, when he read it for the first time, it was essentially what we do on the podcast. We just kind of made jokes and laughed about it, like, for 3 hours.
Yeah, Jamie got really mad. He was like, guys, you're going to have to stop interrupting me, otherwise we're never going to get through this, which is essentially the rules of the podcast now. Just shut up, let me get through
it. We carried that through. So that was kind of how it all started, really. He's yet to say the words, Jamie, I've written erotica to me.
Right.
It was all done via email.
A novel.
You only converse via email.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen him in about a year and a half.
But what does he think about all of this? What's
legally
his reaction
estranged. He loves it. He absolutely... It's interesting because he wrote the book, he feels like that was his kind of whole world. Like, he never obviously thought we were going to do a podcast with it. So him writing the book was kind of everything to him. So the fact that we've taken it on and kind of given it this new life, he's really excited about it and he loves the podcast, but he doesn't really want to engage in it at all. He's like, well, I wrote the book. I'm the author, so I'll just do the writing and you guys do
so
all of the other stuff.
So he's not going to be on a footnote?
No.
Because you do these amazing so footnotes to the episodes where you get guests and you've had amazing guests, haven't you? Had like Daisy Ridley, Michael Sheen.
Yeah, Elijah Wood was our first one. Yeah, we've had amazing people. Rocky, he just...
He's a busy man.
And he's just an odd fish.
He's working on Belinda Blink 10.
Yeah, he's writing Belinda Blink 69 as we speak in the pavilion.
He's dyeing his hair. You know, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Dad, he's never going to be on the show. He's too busy writing in his pavilion, really. And annoying my mother. I think that's kind of his main job at the minute.
Is she a fan of the podcast?
No. Not at all. She's very supportive of it. She doesn't listen or anything. That isn't true. She listens to the footnotes. She likes those because there's no actual porn in those.
Although the Tamar from Bake Off one, that got quite...
Oh my God, that was explicit, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was amazing.
We just had to get a doctor on because from kind of the word go, we were like, none of this is obviously physically possible. So we've wanted to get a doctor on for so long and we thought, who do we know that's a doctor who's fun? And Tamar from Bake Off was the obvious choice.
And who makes cake that we can eat.
Yeah, the cake was amazing. He baked us a cake, yeah.
That's amazing.
It was kind of Belinda Spatchcock. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah.
Splayed.
Yeah.
So my really good friend is also an avid fan, and she sent me some questions this morning. But one question really stood out, which was, what's your most relatable Belinda moment? I can't relate to her at all.
Well, it feels like the obvious answer is... sex in the window in front of 236.
Yeah, which you've done twice, I think.
But that's too obvious.
But only one of them was a threesome.
Yeah.
So
most relatable moment
to any of the characters.
Well, she said Belinda, if there's a character you really relate to.
I guess trying to get to the top in business as a woman. I mean, obviously, I haven't employed all of the tactics that Belinda's used, but. You know, working in TV and radio is very similar to pots and pans in many ways. And reading this, I've learned a lot. And Rocky actually intended it to be a business manual.
Very much so.
So, you know, he wanted people to learn business and leadership from it. And I think we've learned that in panfuls. So, yeah, very pleased about that. Straightening of thongs. I mean, we've all been there, ladies. Anyone?
And men.
But... you know when a female colleague kind of calls you aside delicately and says your thumb's not straight? That's always kind of like, you know, nice to have that girl power thing going on.
Girl power. The glee team.
Alice, you've learned so much from Belinda.
I know. I feel changed as a person. Irreversibly, in fact. What about you? Belinda, she can be sometimes passive, but sometimes she's very quietly powerful, isn't she?
I was going to say, she's a hard character to kind of pin down, actually, because she's so... boring. Doesn't do anything really apart from her sex. But she has got a steel, like you say, her determination.
She works hard.
Yeah, you'd be exhausted, wouldn't you? But she just keeps on going.
And she enjoys travelling.
Yeah, she's been there 4 weeks. I don't think she's had a day off yet.
There's a lot of travel sleep.
No, but not a night's sleep. She's worked all weekends. Dedicated.
I mean, worked is obviously an interesting choice of word, but yeah.
But yeah, work ethic.
She's been doing stuff.
Her. Yeah, she's
been every
active.
Day. Yeah.
She's been active.
She's been living her life every day.
It's true.
As if it's her last, very much.
And I'm willing it to be her last at any point, please.
You want Belinda to die?
I just don't. I just want Dad to stop writing porn. That's all I want.
I would love to hear you guys read a Belinda death scene.
Can you imagine if he killed Belinda off?
That'd be awful.
I can imagine that one day he might.
And then Bella and Giselle could take over.
Yeah, it would go on forever. I mean, he'd have to bring back old characters. He would never let the franchise die.
Yeah, they can all die. It's like Game of Thrones. You can't kill everyone off.
Yeah, I feel like he's priming Bella to take over from Belinda. So maybe you're right. Maybe there is a death on the cards.
But
oh
Bella,
my God.
Bella is not fit for purpose. I'm sorry.
Bella?
Bella, I mean, if Belinda's a dodgy character, you know, narratively. Bella is just...
She's not a fully functioning human being.
Is that who you hate the most, Bella?
Well, Alice hates Bill from HR the most.
You might not remember him. He only appeared very briefly in chapter one, but I hate him.
But you kept the grudge.
Yeah, he just rubbed me up the wrong way, to use a phrase that's appropriate for Belinda Blink. Yeah, don't like him.
I don't like Bella, but I love playing Bella.
Yeah.
Bella's like my favourite voice to do.
You do some great voices.
Playing. You don't play her.
I channel her. I'm very method, guys.
I love your Texas accents as well. Can
oh,
you
thanks.
Do one, actually?
Which one? My Texas accent is just appalling.
Once you've finished eating, follow me to your first meeting.
Oh, God, hang on. Oh, this is pressure. Once you've finished your meeting...
Once you've finished eating, follow...
Once you've finished eating, follow me to your next meeting.
That was incredible.
Thank
it's patchy,
you.
Isn't it? It's always so patchy.
You honestly, can get some voiceover work now that the season's...
Yeah. From the man who read you porn comes...
Comes.
Me. Oh, God. We can't escape it.
We
every
can't.
Word.
And you're in every medium, okay? So I've got the book in front of me now, which is beautiful.
It's nice. So much classier than you'd imagine, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were so
surprised.
Red
and we've got this beautiful writing on. So tell me how this came about. Why did you decide to do a book?
It was a few months ago, wasn't it? Suddenly, like, a number of publishers approached us. It was quite exciting, really. We kind of had a bit of bidding war over Belinda, can you imagine?
Unprecedented for an ebook, I can tell you.
I mean, it kind of made sense. It was the next kind of logical step, since it is a book in the first place.
Yeah. So your book is the book with annotations. There's some drinking games in there. There's some character profiles,
correct,
which I'm really into.
It's the whole of Belinda Blinked One. It's only the first book, because obviously, you know, there's a lot in there to dissect.
Yeah.
And we kind of wanted to treat it as if it was like an actual book. So we've made it as a kind of a spoof York study notes guide. So, yeah, as you say, there's character profiles, there's key themes. There's some there's some insights from Rocky himself in there that he's written for the book.
They're my favourite bit.
Yeah.
Like, insights that we maybe didn't know at the when he was writing certain chapters. We asked him to elaborate on the circumstances. Often he's like, there's no reason. It's like, you might have to make that longer, like 2 to 3 sentences even.
Insights that that we didn't know, but also insights that he didn't know.
No.
He's really, like, pulled into his soul for these, so they are worth the book alone.
There was one thing we had to fight for, and that was to keep all the semicolons in, wasn't it?
Yeah. I love the semicolon use, and it's amazing seeing them in print, not just you guys talking about it, but they are just so
you
random.
You see how just...
Yeah, it's incredible.
What oddly placed they are. And the rogue comma as
but
well.
But it's genius. It's like Gertrude Stein used to do that, just like throw around punctuation, yeah.
Well, I was seeing a lot of Stein in there, actually. A lot of Stein
in it's one of those things that no one is... Not no one, but like most people aren't really sure what punctuation is... for really people just like throw clauses about
right,
and dad
nice.
Is the patron saint of that, so
the proofreader had such a headache with this book. We were like, leave the semicolons in,
they're meant to be there.
Yeah,
so my dad wrote Porno, the fully annotated version of it's out now. Where's the best place to get it? You can get it everywhere, right?
Everywhere, pretty much. We can get it in Sainsbury's and Tesco are stocking it, which is amazing.
Hilarious.
Waterstones, Amazon, all those places.
Yeah, I think Tesco are doing a kind of special cover for it so that kids don't see porno on the shelf.
It'll be, top shelf.
I think we might be the first time that a supermarket stocked pornography.
And
that is very much the end of the podcast. With that, I shall drop the mic and leave the room. But I think, well, you know, that's something to be proud of, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean...
Sure.
It was on the bucket list, and we can tick
it
off.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play our game. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. Who should buy the book? Why should we buy the book? Go, pitch the book.
It would be great if you had run out of tissues.
You could
prop up a table with it.
It would look lovely on a table. I think the cover, you know, even if you never read it, it looks nice.
I promise you, it's
the
beautiful.
Perfect gift, really. Great for a Secret Santa or something like that. And also... there are loads of things to do in a group as well, because people like to listen to the podcast as a group of friends, and there's loads of little activities and little quizzes and stuff in there as well. So
cool,
that'll be good.
You just winked at me then.
I did. I don't know why.
Is it when you do a sales
pitch? I'm like selling that book. I'm like, I'm The Apprentice. I'm like, Sawyer, you want to get this book here?
Shannon's already got one, so no amount of winking is going
to just wink to everyone who buys one.
Okay, so I've got an ASOS bag of stuff, which all features... in Belinda Blinked. Okay.
Oh, God.
So you guys are going to be blindfolded.
I don't want to be anywhere near that bag.
I hope it's all been washed.
So you're going to be blindfolded, and we're going to ask you to each pick an item, try and guess what it is.
Oh,
it's wrapped
awesome.
Up.
Okay.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'm so going to win this, by the way, guys.
So confident.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Come on.
Do you want to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Oh, God. I can't even get in the bag.
Dig down deep, Jamie.
Yeah. Oh, easy.
What do you think? Can you describe it?
It's round. Mm-hmm. It's got a spike in it. I think it's a pomegranate.
Yes.
Yay! Yay!
Absolutely smashed it.
Which? It is the symbol of Belinda Blinked.
That's one of people's favourite quotes from the book, isn't it?
It is an amazing quote.
Her breasts hung like pomegranates.
My father redecorated the hall with pomegranate wallpaper just to annoy my mum.
Did he actually?
Yes, he did.
That's amazing.
It's quite classic Rocky. Wallpaper.
It is nice wallpaper, but mum's furious.
That's so funny.
We had a great tweet the other day. Someone took a picture of a load of pomegranates in a shop and they were like, someone's put a filthy display in Tesco's.
Disgusting.
People can never look at pomegranate in the same way.
No.
I can't even say it. Okay, James, do you want to go?
Yes. I'm going to go deep, so to speak. Okay, I'll go for that.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, well, it's material. It's soft. It's small. I feel I'm nervous, but I think I'm going to say it's a blackthorn.
Correct.
I love that you knew the colour from the from the top.
Oh no, it's a black brassiere.
Oh
you are wrong.
But James, that's not your area of expertise. Jamie, you wouldn't know what a bra felt like.
That's true.
All right, Alice, you'll go.
Okay.
Not
just
even in the bag.
Finding the bag.
Yeah. I've already failed. Oh, okay. Did I get two by mistake?
Oh, you got two.
Okay. Jamie, you're still going to lose this. I think, now I don't know what range it's from, but I believe that this is a, it's the extra small Oxybrillo range frying pan. I think it's a pan.
Yay!
Yes!
Well Very done. Good.
I don't know if this is officially one made by Steels or a competitor. Should we find out?
Oh, it's a competitor.
It's a competitor.
How do you think it sizes up?
They don't do red.
Yeah, that's not one of the core colours for this season at Steels, but that's okay.
Just you wait.
What the hell would you get? That is a tiny frying pan.
One fried egg.
Oh, okay.
I have two of these.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually quite useful,
isn't
it?
One for each breast.
Or really rude. Yeah, or like maybe some seeds, some cumin seeds.
Round two. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go in again.
Bag.
Jamie, you look euphoric.
Yeah, you do look really happy.
Okay, okay, okay. Can I unwrap it?
If you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to be a cheat.
Oh, well, I can hear. Sound is good. So this is metal.
What does it feel like?
It feels like something you'd find in a children's kindergarten shop. I think it is a pair of handcuffs.
In a children's kindergarten shop?
We actually found them in Anne Summers.
But that's what it says in the book.
Yeah, it is.
You found them in Anne Summers?
Yeah. Georgia, is that where you got them from? Georgia's been shopping.
These are quite hard, though. Like, they're quite mean.
I've been looking everywhere for red plastic handcuffs, so...
They're metal, no?
Yeah, they're metal, yeah.
They'd really hurt.
You can have them, a gift from us.
Yeah, James went to grab those straight away.
James wants to keep all of the sexual toys.
So this is when she's attached to the trellis.
Correct.
And
which is a truly bizarre moment.
Which is really unusual. And the word trellis itself, who's heard the word trellis in forever?
And she spends a long time there as well.
Yeah, she's
three chapters. Yeah.
Here you go, have another pick.
I'm going to go for this giant thing.
That's bold.
Okay, it's large.
Yeah.
It feels like footwear.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, oh, it's got a lovely... I've just unwrapped it. It feels leathery. Is it a leather riding boot?
Yes.
Could be a dildo. Oh, no.
It is a leather...
it is a leather riding boot.
Oh, look, with a lovely gold buckle as well. Oh, my God, those are proper.
I'd wear those.
Right, Alice.
Okay.
We're getting... The bag is emptying.
Okay. Why can I not get in the bag? Oh, yeah. There we go. Okay. I don't think there's anything left. All right. Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay, so this feels squishy, like gel, but it also feels bumpy, like a harmonic, like pan pipes.
Pan pipes.
You might need to get tearing.
Okay. But it feels squishy, like, you know, like those gel packs you can put in the microwave to heat your hands in the winter.
I don't know what this is.
I have no idea.
Oh, it feels vacuum packed and it feels
warmer.
I know. It feels spongy and so I think it's Frankfurters.
Yes. That was really good.
These are appropriate for vegetarians because I believe these have very little meat in them.
Food's a big theme in the book, and towards the end of book two, Belinda has a session where a guy is just eating hot sausage while he's having sex with her. You know, it's the norm.
And that's not a euphemism. He's literally just eating hot sausage. Yeah.
Has Rocky commented on that? Has that been?
I don't ask him about the book, really.
That's probably best.
Oddly, yeah. I don't ask for a running commentary as the
people
series
do often
goes on.
Say to you, like, "Oh, have you asked him about this bit?" And you're like, "I don't want to engage him directly about this."
That could be a follow up book. Just all the food. You could do a recipe book.
Well, actually, the turkey sandwich recipe is in the book. Rocky's very personal turkey sandwich recipe, which involves three ingredients and about seven stages. I'm not sure how. Yeah.
Have you tried it?
I actually haven't yet, but I would need to have the book in front of me because it's a very, very complicated procedure.
He'd make them for us as children.
And now they reappear.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay. Right. Going again?
Yes, Jamie.
Oh, my goodness. I'm nervous about not getting it right. Okay. Oh, okay. Now, this is very slight feeling.
Oh, God.
Oh. Oh. Oh, God. What is it? It's fabric.
Nothing.
I've dropped it. Oh, God, hang on.
You look nervous.
Careful where you're putting your fingers.
Oh, stop it. Well, hang on.
You should have washed it, really.
What are you feeling?
It is material.
Mm-hmm. Come on, you must know what that is.
Is this the thong?
Yeah.
Yes, good.
Stop draping it around your hand like that.
Yeah, you had your hand all around the gusset for ages.
I'm blindfolded. I couldn't tell.
You knew it was a thong. You were trying to work out the nature and the size.
Well, is it Bella's thong or is it Jim Sterling's thong? You've got to know these things.
Well, everyone wears a thong. Like, the uniform of Belinda Blinked, everyone wears black
thongs.
It
is a Jim Sterling thong.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. There you go, guys. Jim
this
Sterling.
Is meant for a man. No, it's not. Yeah.
Is it really?
Which is available on ASOS.com.
Look at the pouch. There's a pouch.
All right, we've only got one more thing in the bag.
Should we go together, Al?
Okay.
Yeah.
What, feel together?
A joint one.
Okay.
Right. Oh, God. Pretty much means I've won.
At the moment, just holding Alice's hand. Where is it? Alice kept my hand.
Oh, my God. Alice is going to take James' hand and say, it's James Cooper from my dad's hand.
Oh, where is it? We can't feel it.
It's still in the bag. I'm going to pass
you. Oh, my God. There were two of you. You still couldn't get it out. My God.
Okay. I'm going to pass it to you. It's on Alice's finger. Okay. And James's, yeah.
Oh. Don't say fingering.
Oh, it's silky. It's shiny. I think it's...
They're getting this through
it's
the tissue
hard.
Paper.
It's really hard.
You can unwrap it, guys.
A badge or like a mirror or... it's a rosette. It's a rosette for the Asses and Donkeys Trust.
Yes!
Oh my God!
That is great.
It's got a little ass on it.
Georgia Murray has lovingly made a rosette for the Asses and Donkeys Trust.
That is amazing.
It's got a beautiful little picture on.
To one of our live shows, people came as the delegates from the Asses and Donkeys Trust. They came with like
every
collection.
Costume is just blowing my mind.
Amazing, yeah.
We should say for people that don't know about the Asses and Donkeys Trust, it's a very important charity that Rocky invented. And there's a kind of like a sex tombola, would you say?
Yep. Yeah.
Where you could win people.
Which leads me nicely onto our tiebreak question.
Oh. Well, James obviously lost, so it must be between me and you.
Let's do that.
At least you win the booby prize, which is the thong. So.
Okay, we want you to shout out your answer. So in lieu of buzzers, do you want to pick a buzzer quote or name?
I'll shout thimble.
Okay, which is the...
Safe word.
Safe word for the sex game. I will shout rivets, because one of my favourite quotes is, somebody had nipples that were like the 3-inch rivets that held the fateful Titanic. So I'll shout rivets.
I think that's my favourite quote. It is amazing,
it's a corker, isn't it? You can't beat it.
Okay, thimble, rivets, are you ready?
Yeah.
At the tombola, how much did the three girls go for?
In total?
No, each.
Thimble.
Come
I'm
on,
just
going
to have a go.
Yeah, have a guess.
Oh, God.
I think I remember how much Bella went
I think,
for.
Did Giselle go for 350?
Say your full guess and then Alice can do one. And then the closest.
So Giselle, 350. Bella, 300. And Belinda, 150.
Oh, a knowing laugh from Georgia in the corner there. Alice, what's your guess?
Gosh, I'm going to...
You could cut the tension in here with a knife.
I know,
this is so tense.
I'm so mad. I thought
so
I could get
this
really
easily.
So this
is to win really the holiday, the motorboat, the washing machine,
the
thong.
Pomegranate.
Okay.
And the brassiere.
And the frankfurters.
I really don't remember, but I think that Bella... I feel like Giselle went for some, like, shoddy amount. So I'm going to say... Did Belinda go for the least?
Why are you asking me? James, do not help her.
I'm going to have to push you for
time. Okay, sorry. I think it's...
I'm so competitive, sorry.
I think Bella, 200. Giselle, 300. Belinda, 200. It doesn't make sense because they didn't go for the same, but that's my guess.
Very close. In fact, so close, I don't know how to establish a winner.
Oh, but...
Do you know what? I know how to establish a winner.
Like any good tiebreaker.
Belinda definitely went for the least.
Yes.
I know that.
Should we just guess how much Belinda went for?
Okay.
Yeah, final guesses.
All right, James. I so nearly won in a caveat there. I don't know, 150. I'll just say that.
I think 160.
You're the winner. Alice is the winner. Belinda went for 200.
Yes! Unbelievable. It's just it's a complete fix.
Giselle went for 300. Bella, 350.
All overpriced. Ah,
so I did get those. I just got them the wrong way around, whatever. Okay, cool.
Drops Mike.
He's out. Terribly sore loser. You know this about me.
Well, you can
that's
go
why
home
I make sure I win.
Now and wallow. Yes. Alice is just putting the rosette on.
Ow.
Okay.
Have a pomegranate. There's something for everyone.
I'll definitely take the pomegranate.
I'll take the thong, the handcuffs, and the brassiere.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
Thank you so much for having us. This is really fun.
Well, that was fun.
That was immense. That was so cool.
They were so good at guessing, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. I mean, you can't really see, but as soon as they picked it up, they kind of knew straight away what it was.
They spent a lot of time thinking about all of Belinda's props.
It was really good. And I have to say, the accents were pretty
good. His accents were amazing. It was like being in an episode of My Dad Wrote a Porno.
I think, in honour of that, you should do a thank you in a Texan accent.
I was wondering why you're looking at me like that. I'm going to try it.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to work. I'm going to throw myself in the deep end and say, thank you to George and Mari and Harethna.
Okay. I feel like that was worse. It was a good effort. Yeah. I'm actually 100%
well,
for effort.
The fact that I can't say the lovely Icelandic journalist Georgia spoke to.
Okay, so who else do we got to say thank you to?
Well, I mean, obviously we've got to say thank you to Alice, Jamie and James from My Dad Wrote a Porno for coming in.
Thank you so much for coming on These Four Walls. And I want to say thank you to Deb and Nat for talking us through the Wild Collection.
Mm-hmm. We had a stand-in producer this week, so thank you to Nick.
Oh, big thanks to Nick. Such a great job.
But hey, Annie, what's going on over there?
Oh, I don't know. Is there some furious waving in the background?
Our old producer's also here. It's a joint effort. So thank you very much to Warren, as always.
Thanks to Warren. And if you like us, then please rate us. And if you like ASOS Podcast, then check out My Big Idea, where you can hear inspirational stories of women who started their own businesses.
Please remember to subscribe on iTunes, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts. And join us again in 2 weeks for more chat from These Four Walls. Annie?
Yeah?
Have you really never been tempted to wear a t-shirt with your own face on it?
No. I mean, although I just really... No, I don't know what to say.
Okay.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.